Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who is our Master, Savior, and Teacher, fellow redeemed in his blood. How many times does it have to happen before we learn? I suppose that depends upon the lesson, doesn't it? Usually it only takes a small child touching the hot stovetop once to remember that's not a place to put his hand. Usually it only takes a child investigating the outlet in the wall one time to learn not to put the screwdriver in the outlet ever again. Pain has a way of impressing a lesson into one's memory, and perhaps that's the reason why spanking can be an effective tool in learning for a child. On the other hand, there are some lessons that we simply do not learn. We fall into the same sins over and over again. We know we shouldn't speak that unkind word to our spouse, but before we know it, the word falls out of our heads. We just don't seem to learn, and we aren't the only ones. The Lord sent the prophet Jeremiah to speak words of warning and judgment to people who just didn't learn. God had warned them when they came into the promised land that if they married unbelieving and idolatrous spouses, their hearts would be turned away from him. They didn't listen. They didn't learn when they saw Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, turned from the Lord because of his unbelieving wives. They watched as the Lord allowed Israel, the northern kingdom, to be carried off into captivity as slaves. This happened because Israel had been unfaithful to God, choosing instead to worship Baal and Molech, false gods dreamed up by ungodly men. Did Judah learn? Nope. Judah fell into the same sins of idolatry and unfaithfulness. How did this happen? Why did it happen? It happened because they submitted to human wisdom. They allowed themselves to be taught by ungodly men. They were deceived by one of Satan's most successful lies. That lie being, it really doesn't matter what God you serve. They put their own desires and themselves before the Lord and his word. They lived for this world. They boasted in themselves, in their wisdom, in their strength, and in their riches, all of which were wanting. Now, these things have been written not so that we boast in ourselves and make the same mistake that they did, but rather so that we learn. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would enable us to learn from their folly through this word of God. This morning, we reminded that one of the goals of Christian education is to teach us to boast in the Lord, and not in our wisdom or our strength or our wealth. Therefore, may God the Holy Spirit dissolve our pride, leading us to boast in the Lord, who is from God our wisdom, strength, and wealth. Amen. Well, this is the time of the year when advice is freely given, When students reach different milestones in their educational lives, we naturally want to offer them our tidbit of wisdom. We urge those who are confirmed to continue in God's Word. We congratulate those who graduate from high school and college. We use cliches and we tell them that their whole lives are before them. We offer them our advice. Our advice is opinion, the result of our own experiences in life. But the words given to us here in the prophet Jeremiah are not the same. These are not opinion. These are the words of God given to the prophet Jeremiah, and they weren't only meant for the wayward nation of Judah that was about to be carried off into captivity. They are also meant for us here today. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Human pride has always been and will be until the day of Christ's return a problem for human beings. Let's face it, we tend to boast about ourselves and what we know. We boast about our accomplishments. We offer opinions as fact in matters that we are not experts. It is common in our world for the wise and learned, people with letters behind their names, to glory in their wisdom, to take pride in what they know, without any recognition whatsoever that their intellect and their intelligence is in fact a gift of God. Now, there are certainly many who are more intelligent than I, or perhaps also than you, who understand subjects that we don't begin to understand. And yet, they're very often deficient in the one thing needful, Christ and his word. The Lord tells us here that the wise man should not glory in his wisdom. Why? Because human wisdom falls short and gives poor guidance when it comes to the matter of how one may be right with God. If you were to collect the wisest men of our world and put them together in a think tank, and then ask them to explain how sinners can be made right with God, I think you'd get a lot of questioned looks, raised eyebrows, and shrugs, and then a bunch of wrong answers. Because sinful human wisdom cannot properly answer the question, how can we be made right with God? That's not my opinion. Listen to what the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write. He said, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that higher learning is a waste of time. It has its place in this world. But only the wisdom of God found in Holy Scripture leads to eternal life. And there we are taught not to boast in what we know, but in who we know, the Lord God himself and what he has done for us through his Son. The Lord also warns us about boasting in our strength. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. When I was a child, my brother and I would pretend that we were superheroes. We would don towels as capes, and we would run around the yard fighting evil and accomplishing great feats of strength with imaginary superpowers. I, of course, was Batman. He was Superman. We imagined what it would be like to be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. We would be famous. In real life, of course, we are impressed with human strength and power. Think of those who are physically strong and how they are often held in high esteem, especially athletes. They dedicate themselves, they train to be stronger than the next athlete, and they often boast in themselves. You ever listen to a boxer talk? They boast as if they were all that there is out there. In fact, as if there were no God even. Once in a while, an athlete will give glory to God, but far more often they seem to boast in their strength, in their ability. But the Lord God says that the mighty should not glory in his might or strength. Why? Well, even if you are the strongest human being on the face of the earth, there still are those mightier than you, starting with the Creator himself, of course. And then there are other beings that the Creator made that are stronger than us. Satan is more than our match. With the littlest of temptations, he could lead us into sin. And even though you lift thousands of pounds, at the end of the day, your strength still fails you. You still have to go to sleep to regain your energy. No strong person ought to boast of his strength, for human strength is nothing in comparison to God. Moreover, without God, none of us could rise to do the simplest of tasks. That's why the Lord in his word urges us to humble ourselves, to know our weaknesses, and to turn to him for strength. Because in the end, you see, we have no power to lift our burden of sin or remove our guilt. But there's only one that can do that, and that's the God-man Jesus Christ, who has. Finally, we are warned about boasting in our stuff. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. It's called by different names: bling, ka-ching, cash, dough. We live in the richest country in the world. It's the American dream to get rich and to own a big house. Who would dispute that for most in our society, it's how much you make and what you have that matters? In our society, by and large, most would like to be in the shoes of the rich fool who said to himself, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for yourself for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Greed is indeed a powerful thing in the hearts and lives of sinful human beings. The Bible teaches plainly that the sinful desire for wealth leads to many other sins. It is the short-sighted way of human beings to always make the gift more important than the one who gives it. But the Lord God says that the rich should not glory in his accumulated wealth. Why? First of all, because the scripture teaches the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The things that we have, whether much or minuscule, are given to us by God out of his storehouse. When money becomes the most important thing to us, then it becomes a competitor with God himself. I don't dispute that we all work hard for our wages and with them purchase what we have. But it is still God who gives us the health and the ability to get up every day and to labor. And the Lord wants us to look beyond the gift to the giver. Godly wisdom teaches us that everything that we have and are is a gift of God. And thus we are warned about making too much of these three things: human wisdom, human strength, human wealth. We're warned because none of these things can save us from judgment or destruction. It will not matter how much you know or how intelligent you are on the day of Christ's return. It will not help you to be the strongest man on the earth on the day that Christ returns, because you will not be given opportunity to arm wrestle God for a place in heaven. Furthermore, there's no bank there, no place to deposit and store your earthly riches. The Lord God once said through Solomon, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." There is only one thing that God invites us to boast in, and that is him. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. If we are to be proud of and boast in any one thing, it's this, that by God's grace we understand and know the Lord. And this knowing is more than a casual knowledge of his existence, that there's something out there or someone, but that we trust in him. We know him by name. We cling to him by faith. All the wisdom and strength and riches and knowledge in this world without Christ will not deliver on the day he returns. What does it mean to know the Lord, to know his loving kindness, his judgment, and his righteousness? It means that we trust in his grace, first of all. We discover through a Christian education that it was God's undeserved love that moved him to repair our relationship with him that had been ruined by sin. He loved us and sent his only begotten Son into the flesh to die to deliver us. That means that we trust in his justice or his judgment. We discover through a Christian education that our just God could not and would not overlook sin, but instead atoned for it. And since he could not rescind his demand that we be holy, he satisfied his own justice by sending Christ to be our perfect substitute. Finally, knowing the Lord means that we trust in his righteousness. You see, the greatest gifts given is to know that Jesus' perfect life is credited to our account and covers our sins by faith. To know the Lord is to trust his loving kindness, his justice, and his righteousness. Moreover, those who know the Lord also practice these virtues: kindness, justice, and righteousness. We strive with the help of God to respond to anger with kindness. We strive to obey the laws of the land because God has placed government over us for our good. We daily confess our sins and we pray that our sins be covered in Christ's righteousness, for only then will we be delivered from the coming judgment. You see, if Judah, to whom the prophet Jeremiah spoke these words, had only learned to boast in the Lord and to rely upon his loving kindness, his justice, and his righteousness, then she would have never fallen into judgment. But God judged Judah because she had swallowed faulty human wisdom that says all gods are acceptable. You can make up for your problems with your own strength. It's what you have that counts. God preserve us from accepting the same faulty earthly wisdom and forsaking the Lord. On the other hand, may God grant that we be well-pleasing to him, and he is well-pleased with those who boast in him and rejoice in what he has done. He's delighted when we are moved to humble ourselves before his word and to look for him for strength to be led, to lead our lives in thanksgiving to God. And that's the goal of Christian education: to lead us by the Spirit to know the Lord by faith, to make our boast in his grace, his justice, and his righteousness. Let this also be the one gift above all we would give to our children and to our grandchildren. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.